direct your attention to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, and verses 12 and 13. First epistle of Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, how vital it is for us to have those evidences that we're amongst the beloved ones, those whom God has loved with an everlasting love. It is a solemn reality that the word declares there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, how we need much grace to prove this work of grace in our hearts, that a new birth that is so vitally necessary in your experience and mine, that new creation which is the work of the Spirit and the Spirit alone, there's no substitute for the Spirit. Man may think in these days of intellectual teaching that there is that substitute for the Spirit, but there is not. Men are given gifts according to the will of God, but it is the Spirit must the work perform. It is all of grace. No matter how eloquent an orator a man may be, it is still the Lord alone can create within you and me that clean heart, that new work of grace, that perfect heart that the Lord can alone accomplish in you and me. These then, dear friends, of the quickened souls, he is the judge of the quick and the dead. And if through the mercy of God there is any evidence in your heart that he's quickened you, made you aware of what you are in a little measure, in the pure and holy eyes of God, the Lord will give his dear chosen people that grace to examine themselves. This self-examination, and you're brought here, if we know a little of it, oh wretched man, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? There's only one, dear friends, can awaken you. And if you and I have been born of God, is it not by reason, dear friends, of the wrestling prayers? The wrestling prayers, firstly, of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. His wrestling prayers. When he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane's garden for every saint that shall be saved. He shall see his seed, we read, and be satisfied. So prophesied Isaiah, and so it came to pass. Oh, how we then we need that sweet evidence and assurance that we have been born from above, born of God. Then there be that you'll be the subject, or will have been the subject of his wrestling prayers, and the answers will come in our lives. The answers to the wrestling prayer of Jesus. What a privileged soul if the Lord has awakened you and me from the dead. We look back over life's history when we think of that dreadful, unregenerate condition that we were in. Satan's blind slave, sporting with death, nothing to glory about or boast of. But when we think the mercies of God that he should to pick us out amongst the thousands that we were interwoven with or moving with, in this sinful world and in his mercy. And is it not with some of you? You can look back to that sweet time when the Lord caused you to begin to be in one, not for the food and the drink of this life, but for this meat that the world knows nothing of. You were given as a newborn babe, the sincere word, milk of the word. You began to be in want for something more satisfying than the perishing things of this world. Oh, bless God then, if the Lord has awakened you and given you that desire for this sincere milk of the word. You don't seem to have got very far, but your desires are for a living gospel. You want the Lord to send his servants right where you are, to meet your case, to comfort your troubled heart, and to favour you with that sweet assurance that you're one of these whom he hath loved. And to be led to believe by faith, and to consider him in his great sufferings, this great sign and evidence of his sufferings, greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Now, preceding laying down his life as this, he prayed for his dear chosen people in that garden when he wrestled, dear friends. And what a mercy that you and I, in like manner, we hope, in a little measure, have been brought and led to the throne of grace and poured out our souls' confessions before God, desiring that he would help us to look to him for all needful grace to help in our time of need, beloved. Oh, now, he says, ye are the sons of God. This is that privilege then of these chosen vessels that shall be found unto glory and honour at his appearing. Now, if the Lord has regenerated you, and if you've no further than desiring the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby, those desires and that trust in the living God to perform it for you will be tried. The Lord, we read, trieth not the wicked, he trieth the righteous, trieth their faith, trieth that principle within, the fear of the Lord that puts the trust in the Lord. Oh, he'll try your faith, friends. If he's the author of it, he'll try it, because he's going to deliver you and me from all that you would add unto your religion. It's only that God giveth it profitable to the salvation of our souls. And oh, how we have been singing those humbling hymns tonight, and all that we might be favoured to meditate upon those hymns, and that needs be of humility and love. And this is the purpose of the trial of your faith and your pathway. As he says, beloved, think it not strange. You and I may think the path that we're treading out is a strange path, because you seem to cry and shout, and he shuts out your prayer. You're looking for the Lord's appearing. You're watching and waiting for those answers. And still the Lord is silent unto you. And you're so tried in his silence that you fear lest you're out of the secret. But the Lord is proving the sincerity of your heart and mine. And he's going to strip you, dear friends, of all your fancied meekness to approach unto him. And he's going to bring you and me into that subjection to his holy mind and will. And yet in it all, dear friends, he is bringing you really into that fellowship, or being a partaker of his sufferings. There'll be persecution. and that persecution in our day seems more within the Church of God than in the profane world, the professing world. All my friends, the professors of religion that will be truly doing their utmost to try your faith and mine, if our faith is that living faith. The vain professors of religion, those that have had, that got nothing more than a lip service before God, they seem to be bubbling over with religious doctrine, and they're the do-gooders, dear friends, amongst us. But oh, it is vital for you and me to have Jesus Christ as the author of your faith, and he'll try it, he'll prove it. And through the mercy of God, he will give you grace to endure, and it will be with strength enough and none to spare. And it is all the while in this fiery trial, which is to try you, there is that needful grace to cause you and me to rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of the of Christ's suffering. And if you and I are brought, dear friends, into fellowship with Christ's sufferings, oh, what an effect that will have upon your walk and your conduct. It'll be truly a sanctifying influence to you and me. And you'll never think you're laid too low, sinner, if Jesus on you pity shall. Oh, it's a painful path, isn't it, to be a believer in Christ. You'll meet much opposition from the religious world, so-called. And yet, through the mercy of God, he'll not leave you or forsake you. It is according to his will. It is through much tribulation to enter the kingdom. And he says concerning enduring with him in his temptations. And all these things, dear friends, that try your faith bring sorrow upon your soul. And you seem to be so sorrowful that you begin to wonder, can God ever dwell here? But ye now therefore have sorrow. The Lord seems to hide his face. He is withdrawn from you. You've lost those sweet days of your espousals, the felt sense of his love shed abroad in your heart. And now you seem to travel much in darkness and much by night. And you grope for the wall like the blind, but he has said, I will lead the blind by a way that they knew not. You know, men think that they know the will of God concerning the way before them. But oh, how we do need to be watchful daily unto prayer, that the Lord would show us real signs and evidences, that we have to prove that we walk much by faith. The dictates of the conscience, the instruction of the Word of God, that exhorts you and me to cease from sin. And oh, how vital it is that we're not left to bring shame or reproach upon the name of Christ, but grace to seek to know and do his will. He says here through his apostle Peter, but the end of all things that is at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Oh, how we do need to be sober, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, and watch unto prayer. And that we might truly be favoured in our fiery trials, to realise a little that Christ knows the way you take and I take. And so he says, think it not strange. The natural man will think it strange, because all your plans and your schemes at times seem to be turned upside down. And everything that you had sought to set in order, even in your providential things, all things that you tried to organize, as it were, seem to be brought, as it were, into a state of confusion, and you're brought into shame of face. But all these things, dear friends, I believe, are to bring your affections upon the things here below, and set your affections and mine upon things above where Christ dwelleth. It is the name of Christ. What a tower of strength it is to a seeker, the name of Christ, and to a believer. And that name, dear friends, will be precious as you're given faith to put your trust in Him. And through mercy, He does grant you signs and wonders by the way. Sweet evidences at times, though your pathway is dried, and it seems a strange pathway, but the Lord gives you grace to be still and know that He is God, and as for God, His way is perfect. We touched upon in prayer concerning Job. He performeth a thing that He hath appointed for me. Are God's appointments, dear friends, for you and me through this wilderness. He knows the end from the beginning, all for grace. Then to be submissive to the holy mind and the holy will of God. He performeth a thing. He's a God, dear friends. He is a performing God. And He will cause His dear children, He will cause all these things to work together for their soul's good. He will teach them. Teach them to number their days, that they might apply their hearts unto wisdom. Beloved, think it not strange. This is the word, dear friends, of the apostle, under the influence of the Spirit, as God instructed him. So it is that is recorded here. And He bids you and me, think it not strange. So you may be in some fiery trial. You see, when thou passest through the waters, I be with thee, and through the floods, they shall not overflow thee, and the flames, they shall not hurt thee. You see, this faith is likened unto gold. Gold in the furnace tried, now loses all but dross. Gold must be tried, and your faith must be tried, dear friend. And gold in the furnace tried now loses all but dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. You may have a cross to bear, too great, too heavy, and too burdensome for you and me to carry. And oh, how these things weigh heavily upon you, but they're to keep you and me humbly waiting. Oh, you see, you'll be brought, diminished, and brought low with these trials, as they're sanctified. So they bring you and me to the feet of Christ. Those trials that give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to His feet to lay me low and keep me there. Oh, how, dear friends, your flesh and mine might murmur against God. But He bids you and me, think it not strange. Can anything be strange, dear friends, concerning the work of grace in a sinner's heart? It may seem something new to you and me in that present path that you're treading out. But the steps of a good man, one that desires good things, the man that hath that good treasure in his heart, will bring forth good things. Now the good man will bring good things from his heart in prayer. And he will bring forth, dear friends, those prayerful desires that the Lord would govern his ways and his affairs. Teach him the way of wisdom. Teach him to commit his way unto the Lord, the God of all grace. Is able to grant you, and has He not said, "My grace is sufficient for thee"? You know, there was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet Paul. Why was that? Because he had received so many blessings. As a natural man, he could soon get puffed up in the flesh, and so can you and me. Oh, how we can soon glory in the flesh. Look what my hand had done and gotten me. But a true believer in Christ and a follower of Christ, I believe, will live that life of faith by prayer and realize that the Lord causes this and that to come. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Many such things are with Him. And so He will bring down your heart with labor and all what burdens you have to bear, afflictions, trials of providence, the burdens of your family and those around you. And maybe godly friends might even forsake you for a season. And maybe those disputes that arise up amongst you. And yet, dear friends, and is it not all that is to try your faith and my faith? And what is it to bring you to realize that we cannot put our trust in man, but trust in one alone, the living God, and His dear Son, who is as God manifested in the flesh. All the preciousness then of that. And so it was with the case of that wonderful revelation to Paul, as he was Saul of Tarsus, hailing men and women to prison and going yet again with letters to the governor of Damascus to bring more of those true believers and take them to be in prison. But you see, he hadn't reckoned, and so you have to prove in your pathway you haven't reckoned with the will and the mind of God that is far greater than the will and the mind of you and me. And oh, how the Lord appeared to him on that Damascus road. But lest he got lifted up with pride, you see, there is later on that messenger from Satan sent to buffet him. So, and the buffetings that you and I will receive in our pathway, mysterious as they are, but the Lord knows all about them. He causeth it to come. It is the performing of those appointed things for you and me to pass through while here below. And it's all to make you and me sick of self and more fond of Him. Oh, blessed be God, if you have found a measure of this fiery trial concerning your power. There are some so full of presumptuous faith. There are some so sure that things are going to fit in with their plans and their schemes in the future. Speaking to one relative the other day, so sure, so definite that God's going to appear. Well, if you and I, dear friends, begin to know a little of the ways of God, it's not according to our plans and our schemes. Often it's the contrary way. That we find the winds are contrary. We find there's toiling and rowing. If I know a little of the pathway of this, of living a life of faith by prayer, we don't get our answers when we want them. We don't get those deliverances when we think they should come. We have to prove painfully that He still performeth those things according to His divine appointments and His will concerning us, our steps. If we fear God, our steps are ordered by the Lord. And through grace we shall delight in the way, because as for God, His way is perfect, and all for grace to realize it. Now what a lesson we have to learn in the pathway that we pass through. Now this gold then in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified. There's that need for purification both in you and me, friend. There's the need for that holiness without which we shall never see the Lord. So your faith is tried. And He burns up all the dross and all the rubbish. And so the messenger from Satan is sent. And oh, what a painful experience it is to have the messenger from Satan buffeting you. And yes, he can take a word of scripture and he can buffet you with it. Oh, how painful it is sometimes that the things that he lays before you, they're not the work of the Spirit of God, but they're the spirit of this prince of the power of the air, the devil. What a foe he is. But through the mercy of God, we have to prove, as the Lord said to Paul, instead of withdrawing this buffeting influence of Satan against you, he says, my grace is sufficient. So this is where the conflict is in a sinner's pathway. There's that war within. Oh, and who goeth a warfare of his own charges? Now it's fighting the good fight of faith. And he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Blessed be God then for these beloved sons and daughters of God. He says, think it not strange. This is a word, dear friends of the Lord. Might it be a comfort to some poor sinner to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. The worldling has trials. He may have bitter things to experience, but they're not sanctified. Now a fiery trial to you and me will bring you and me more in subjection to the holy mind and the holy will of God. And you'll pray for more grace and more humility, because he says he gives more grace to the humble. You see, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, old proud nature's got to be brought down. You know, it is vital for that, to humble ourselves before Almighty God, that we might be exalted in due time, that he may exalt you in due time, casting then all your care upon him. Or we would bless God if these portions of scripture have ever been a comfort to us. He is very mindful of his chosen people, and we must remember as we read the word of God, dear friends, you cannot cast these words of truth. Cast not your pearls. These are pearls of the scriptures. You cannot cast them before swine. Well, we know that the gospel is to be preached in the world, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. But as we come to God's house, so we would realize that poor Peter here was writing this epistle to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. In other words, dear friends, these beloved sons and daughters of God, whom he had loved with an everlasting love. The wicked, dear friends, will never receive the scripture, for they will perish in their sins. It will be a book of judgment to them. But all through mercy, the Lord use the scriptures to comfort his dear tried people. And he bids them, casting all your care upon him. All the cares and concerns then that there are in the lives of the dear people of God. And though there are those diversities of gifts, of faith, the measure of faith that is, faith, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. And so these beloved ones, whom he hath created anew in Christ, whom he hath convinced of sin, and whom he hath led to the fountain of his shed blood open for sin and uncleanness, they come as seeking souls. They are poor in spirit. They are hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. They are looking to Jesus and praying that he might be revealed to them through the lattice of the gospel. They pray that they might be amongst the sheep and the lambs that shall be fed. You know that the Lord was very mindful concerning Peter feeding his sheep. But he says, what shall this man do? But the Lord, my friends, was directing his instruction to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And if we have any love to the Lord Jesus, which sometimes we hope we have felt immensely, and others we seem to be so cold, but if we have any love to Christ, then we must ever seek grace to follow him and walk worthy of him, and that vocation wherewith we have been called, looking unto him. As much opposition that we meet, and the greatest foe is ourselves, but through the mercy of God in these fiery trials that concern you and me, we are to think it not strange. This is all the appointed pathway for sinners, that they might, dear friends, realize their great need of leaning upon the arm of their beloved, of seeking to cast every burden upon him, and praying for that needful grace that they might fight the good fight of faith, and they might endure, and that they might endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You know something, when they put on an open profession that now they're that the Lord will be mindful of them, and they're going to have a smooth passage to heaven. But oh, dear friends, how different we have to prove it is. But we also have to prove the faithfulness of God. Though our pathway has been tried, yet it has been strewn with blessing. And thus far our God has led us on and made his truth and his mercy known. We come trembling and fearful to presume. We're not full, dear friends, of confidence, as some might be, that we come wholly dependent upon him and casting every care and burden upon him. We do not run before the Lord, but we must follow in the footsteps of the Son of God, who has gone before us, and who alone can make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain, and the darkness light for you and for me, poor sinner. So he says, rejoice. And there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Rejoice. Oh, to be blessed with this rejoicing, that the Lord should even come where you are to grant you that gift of living faith. You've been brought as a sinner, a guilty, weak, and helpless worm. You're not very high then, are you? These are they that are accepted by the Lord. Guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy kind arm I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. That is the portion, I believe, of the language of the child of God that is seeking the Lord while he may be found, and to rejoice. To think, dear friends, to be accounted as the apostles of old were, they rejoiced in that they were accounted worthy to suffer for his name. Or we do not suffer persecution from the world as once their forefathers did, but we shall find that there will be persecution. There'll be persecution from Satan and all the subtle means that he uses to persecute the child of God that is asking his way to Zion with his face thitherward. Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. All fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Do we know a little of it? Have we been led, dear friends, to that fountain, this trial of your faith, and being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. All these these manifold temptations that you and I pass through. You see, you may on the main of temptation be tossed. Your sorrows may swell as the sea, but none of the ransom shall ever be lost. You know, it'll be holding fast to the precious truths of his word and pleading those promises and desiring that Jesus might lead you to that fountain. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one yet to come. Zion is nigh. That new heaven and that new earth, Jerusalem, where Christ ever liveth and will ever be adored by his dear people that overcome this world of sin and woe. So he says, rejoice, or that we might have our trials then sanctified to us. They'll separate you. Grace will separate you. There's not enough of it today. Separation. Separation from the world that lieth in wickedness. You have lawful callings. Do not misunderstand me. Lawful callings. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, and in the fear of the Lord. But there's still that time to separate. We're not, dear friends, to go with the fashions of this world. We're not to follow after the vain pleasures of this world, but we are to seek the Lord. And oh, how vital it is, for he tells us here, the end of all things is at hand. And oh, as we are drawing closer to the end, dear friends, of another century, how much closer are we now to the end of all things, which is at hand? We read, 1,000 years are as a day is 1,000 years. Oh, then, does not your heart desire this in your trials? Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly frame, a light that shines upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Desiring to be prepared for the will of the Lord. Grace to be submissive. Grace to be still. Grace to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Is the Lord alone can save your soul and mine. Prepare you and me for those prepared mansions in the sky. Or may the Lord grant you and me grace then, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, to be accounted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Or we would then seek grace to walk worthy of him, and that vocation wherewith we hope we have been called, looking unto him, not be ashamed to own him, to love him and be given grace to keep his commandments. They're not grievous. Or the peace of mind that seemed to flow into my very soul when I came up out of the waters of baptism, the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a sweet moment it was. I felt the constraining love of Christ, but what a trial we've had since of it. And oh, my friends, what exercise of heart. Am I made a real Christian? That's the vital needs be of it, isn't it, to be made a real Christian. You see, we read here suffering as a Christian, but are we real Christians? We can be nominal Christians and not have the root of the matter in us. The end of all things is at hand. We are vital to be watchful under prayer and to know, dear friends, that Christ has suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, you'll hate sin, you'll loathe sinning, and yet you find daily, and especially at the end of another day, you feel to be so sad that you've sinned and come short of his glory. Oh, the wretchedness of your sinful heart, and oh, how shortcoming, oh, your shortcomings you truly mourn over. And yet, through the mercy of God, he is able to save unto the uttermost. You wouldn't sin willfully if you're a believer in Christ. Because when you consider what it cost him to suffer, bleed and die, to open up a new and a living way for you and me. Oh, how you pray daily to be kept. And who can keep themselves? None. But it is Again, dear friends, we are dependent upon Him. And oh, that we might feel that grace in our hearts to pray daily that we might in Him live and move and have our being, and pray for grace to be kept even in the fiery trials that befall you and me. Is there not a cause? Those bitter things that you and I have to partake, those things that seem to weigh heavily upon your heart, those constant prayers for this and that matter that concern you much, and still you go on praying, and still there's a withholding of the answer. But the Lord has said unto you that fear my name shall. Oh, blessed be God, still carry that burden to the throne of grace, sinner. Has He not said that unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings? Carry the burden of your sins, carry the burden of those near and dear to you and their soul's welfare. Oh, daily we have to do this, don't we? Carry the concerns of your church to the Lord. Carry the concerns of your faith to the Lord. He is a very present help. He's your refuge. There's no other refuge like Him, friends. Or for faith to believe this. You may seek refuge in the word of a friend, but it can never save you. Oh, how vital it is then to call upon me in the day of trouble, to cast your care upon Him. And He has said, come unto me all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no rest in self in help, dear friends, and though I've sought it well, the native treasure of our minds is sin, death and hell. Now He says, think it not strange. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but tribulation is sanctified in your pathway, and mine will work patience. Oh, how vital it is. One feels to need much patience. The husbandman hath long patience, waiting for the fruit, for the seed sown in the ground to bear fruit. And so we do need, with this seed of the incorruptible word of life, we have need of patience. You may have this and that soul laid upon your heart in your prayer, and you're looking and watching and waiting that they might be fruitful, and that they might bear those signs and evidences that they have been born again. We can't give ourselves religion. You might have it in the brain. Dry doctrine floating in the brain can never save you, never do you any good, but it as it is applied by the Spirit. Now under your trials, dear friends, trials that are sanctified to you, give that new life to prayer. Trials, dear friends, with living faith in exercise, cause you to come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, it's cast in then your care upon Him. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Come unto me. The invitations of the word of truth, may the Lord apply them. You can't run before the Lord, friends, but He has bid you and me, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden. Are you weary of sin? Are you weary of self? Are you weary of darkness and bondage in the trials of the pathway here below? Do you feel the mud-walled cottage shake? Does the outward man decay? Is the inward man is the greatest thing? Is the inward man being renewed day by day? Are your trials, dear friends, bringing you closer and closer to lean upon the arm of your beloved? Oh, how we have to prove then those precious invitations. Lord, seal them upon my heart. Grant me that exercise and prayer and the willingness to come unto Thee as a weary and a heavy laden sinner, that I might find rest for my soul. You see, He is meek and lowly in heart. Do you know the word of truth says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered. Or have we been submissive to his will, resigned to his will concerning our pathway? You see, the Lord knows the way that we each take. By nature we might murmur and we might rebel against God. But as grace is given, so you're brought to look upon Christ as the captain of your salvation, as your Lord and your Saviour, as your example. And you want to follow him. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. What a Saviour he is. Oh, and unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, the preciousness of living faith, to put your trust in a precious Christ to save you from yourself, save you from your sins, save you for his mercy's sake. Now his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His compassions fail not. He compassionates your case, dear friends, in your sorrow. He says, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Salvation, friends, all of grace, heaven at last, the gift of God to unworthy sinners such as you and me. Or may you be enabled to be given grace to endure hardness. As the good soldier of Jesus Christ, it is, dear friends, putting on that heavenly armour. You want then the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, or that he might grant it to you. You'll have a sword to wield, dear friends, if he gives you a promise. You'll fight the devil with that, and you'll endure as grace is given, as he brings to your remembrance the things that he's spoken to you. The sword of the Spirit, the word of life. And all, as you go on, you go in the strength of the Lord, and in those things that he has spoken unto you, as he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Well, he'll give you the promise, dear friends, and then he'll try it. And there'll be a proving of all things and holding fast to that that's good. But what a mercy that the Lord reigns. And his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Blessed be God. 'Tis true, your iniquities and mine have separated us, but we are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. And he says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters of affliction, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. The trial of your faith. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. All the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he will draw you, sinner, in spite of the allurements and the temptations of the devil. Jesus draws the chosen race. And what is it by? Sweet, resistless grace. His grace is irresistible, friends. And he'll make you willing in the day of his power to be still and to rejoice, inasmuch as ye are favoured to be partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. May we be favoured then to be more than a conqueror through him that has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's the vital thing, isn't it? To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. The Lord give us grace to come there. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.